hard day for all of us, and we need you very much to refresh us and to open our eyes and understanding, and to let the words of this book become clear to us as we study. In the name of Jesus. The opening chapters of Proverbs are a father's advice to a son. And the father speaks to the son at every stage of the boy's life to give him good advice on growing up and going out into the world and staying away from bad company and hanging out with the right girls and so on. We see the boy growing up and leaving home and becoming a man and walking through a dangerous world with many traps and pitfalls. So it looks as if in chapter 7 this boy is now an adolescent, a teenager, going off to college, because he's told about a very dangerous woman there in town, and she's called a harlot. And this is not a woman you get out and rent a prostitute. This is not one of the town whorehouses, probably. This is probably a girl on campus at college, or a woman down the street, or an attractive girl who does not know God and whose lifestyle is sleazy. So the father says, "My son, keep my words, treasure my commands within you, keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your hearts. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words." Women come in two basic classes. Women are loving and helpful and edifying. Is the switch on? On the cord, no, way up near the up near the lamp, on the right. Cord.
Yeah.
So this boy away from home is going to get lonely. He wants somebody to talk to. He goes into a bar or a nightclub and meets this really attractive waitress, and they become friends, and the next thing you know, he's in her bedroom. Verse 6, "At the window of my house," the man says here, the father says, "I looked through my lattice, I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along a street near her corner. He took the path to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the dark and black night." So he sees this kid who did not come from a good home and family, who's easy prey for this woman. There, a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. She wanted to go honky-tonking all the time, or partying, or having a good time. She had no strong moral values and no relationship to Jesus. Loud and rebellious, she would not stay at home. Maybe had a bad home life. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she's out looking for some guy who will give her love and affection. And this guy is easy prey. She caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, she said to him, "I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you. I've been wanting to meet you for a long time. I've seen you walking out here a lot, and nice guy and good family, and I'm lonely and I need some company. Come to my house." "I came out to meet you," she says, "diligently to seek your face. I found you. I've spread my bed with tapestry, come on over to my apartment. Colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. So come on over to my house, and you can stay overnight if you want. And I've got this really cool bedroom, big bed. You'll be right at home here, and I'll cook you some dinner, and I'll pour you a glass of wine. See that scenario there? Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let's delight ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. He'll come home on an appointed day. So this woman is a married woman, and her husband is a businessman who travels, and she gets lonely when he's not there. She doesn't think anything about being faithful to this guy or honoring her wedding vows. And she's probably done this a lot of times when he leaves town on a trip. We don't know what the guy is doing while he's away from home. But he probably has no values either, so he might very well be sleeping around. With her enticing speech, she causes him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. So if this kid had reservations, she plied him with wine and loosened him up and fondled him enough to get him turned on. And he was tempted, but he knew it was wrong. But at some point he caved in and buckled. That's exactly what happens when we get in a place of temptation. And we know we're going to do something wrong, but there's a point of no return when you give in and said, oh, hell, I'll confess this afterwards. This woman is really very loving, and so she wants to be my friend, so why not? Everybody else is doing it. See how this really fits the contemporary situation. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went in after her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until an arrow pierced his liver. Whoops, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know that it would cost him his life. This is the femme fatale. This is that deadly woman who takes you into her bedroom and ends up destroying you. Maybe not literally killing you at this point, but putting you on a path you didn't want to go down. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to my words, the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. So this is not just about sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's not just about sleeping with the wrong woman. It's about the seduction of the world system. The love of money, the love of power, the love of sensual pleasures, having a good time, confessing it afterwards, coming back to God the next day. That story is repeated in our culture all the time by vulnerable men who don't see how evil the world is and how deadly it is. Earlier we saw very much about the father telling his son to avoid bad company, to avoid business partners or people you hang out with who are going to influence you gradually in a direction that will take you away from God. So this is just another layer of the warnings. And the father knows very well what it's like to be a man and to have human emotions and human desires and human needs. Needs to be affirmed and loved and edified. So that's chapter 7. It's a very powerful chapter. Chapter 8. Now we switch now to this opposite of the prostitute, the opposite of the harlot. We switch to the woman wisdom. Wisdom is like a good mother, a good sister, a good wife, a good girlfriend, a good grandmother, And wisdom is an attribute of Jesus himself. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And Jesus is the Logos of God also, the Word of God. But this, here we see God showing up in the feminine half of life. 50% of life is understood from a woman's point of view, 50% from a man's view, point of view, and that's the way God made the universe. He made it male and female. So, does not wisdom cry aloud and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way, where the paths meet. She cries out at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entry of the doors. So this woman represents a loud and prominent voice in the community of a moral, godly woman who's concerned about the community the same way a good father is. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, you naive ones, you boys, hey, wake up, kids. Understand prudence. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Sometimes that's the right advice for a young man. Hey, don't do anything foolish, son. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Don't go there, son. Ask me to explain why. I just know you shouldn't go there. So that would be the advice that wisdom is offering here. If you go there, you're going to come to a point of no return. You're going to go too far, and you'll be destroyed. Listen, I will speak excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. And for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Wisdom is better than riches, and all the things one may desire cannot compare with her. Now, wisdom then would be like a good mother, a good grandmother, a good sister, but most of all, a good wife, a loving, godly wife, is the best possible thing that can happen to a young man. Now, wisdom speaks further in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Women need to know the Bible just as much as men do, because women are alike men in spirit, different in body and in soul. So women have a responsibility of knowing the Bible, of praying, of sorting through truth from error in the same way that men do. So in that regard, men and women are identical in spirit. We have identical personal relationships with Jesus, and we have different weaknesses and different emotional characteristics. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I'm understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign. Rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. So a good wife is a very powerful influence in any man's life. If you don't have a good wife, then look around for some godly women who are mature, won't drag you down, not the kind that are needy and parasitic, but the kind that will be edifying, offer you helpful encouragement and advice. That's what this woman wisdom's all about. She's there to compliment. Now, ultimately, wisdom comes from God. So if you don't have an active woman in your life that's providing this, then go to Jesus himself, because he'll provide it. Now, we see something about this woman wisdom here that's very deep. And it starts in verse 22. The Lord begot me at the beginning of his ways, or possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. In other words, whoever this figurative woman is, she was there when God created the universe. This is very awesome passage here. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he, God, had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, that I was beside him, a master craftsman. So God seems to have had a companion to help him in when he created the universe. In other words, it wasn't just one God doing this all alone. We'll talk about that in a minute. So God had a companion when he created the universe, a partner. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. So, if you think about this, this person who was present with the Father when he created the universe was God the Son, was Jesus. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were a trio in the design and construction and operation of the whole universe. The Father thought up the plan, the building plan for the universe in his great mind, and he gave the blueprints to Jesus, the Son, who built the universe by ordering all the sand and gravel and concrete and trees and raw materials so he could build a universe. And then after the universe was all built, the Holy Spirit was sent to keep it all running and energize it and impart life to it. So the universe was created by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working as a team. I think that's the way to understand this passage. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All who hate me love death. Well, that fits exactly our relationship with Jesus, doesn't it? We are to love God with our whole hearts and minds and souls. We are to give account of ourselves to Jesus. We're to love him and respond to him and obey him all our lives long, whether we're single or married. And that's what this is saying here. And so this wisdom calling here, listen to me, children, keep my ways. Hear instruction, read the Bible, be wise, don't disdain it. You will be blessed and enriched if you listen to me, which is really just putting all of your life trusting in Jesus 100%. Just as you would trust your a godly wife if you had a godly wife. So God is ready to make up what you lack in your present circumstances. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the door posts of my doors. Whoever finds me finds life, obtains favor from the Lord. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So that's absolutely marvelous, a beautiful and famous chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs. And Am I supposed to do chapter 9, Dave?
You can do 9 if you want. I mean, yeah. I have until 5:30.
Chapter 9. We're talking again about these two women, about the woman Wisdom, who really is Jesus Christ in his invisible role, and versus the seductive woman. And the women in the Bible, although they have wide variety in the world, they're categorized in either as one of these two figurative women. Wisdom has built her house. She has sewn out her seven pillars, hewn out, carved out her own seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding," she says to him, "come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I've mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go to the way of understanding." So this woman represents a woman in the community, maybe not married, maybe a widow, who is available to encourage young men, young women, kids, everybody that needs her encouragement, in the same way that a good Bible teacher, a good pastor, a good woman pastor could do this, or a good prayer leader could serve at this capacity. You know, there's a bunch of bridge verses in 7 to 12. "He who reproves a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blemish. Do not reprove a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be still wiser." There are people that will take your advice even if you're speaking firmly to them. A wise man will listen to his elders, will respond to those who are over him. He may not like what he's been asked to do, but he'll do it. "Teach a just man, he'll increase in learning." A just man is a righteous man, is a fellow Christian. So you can help a fellow Christian by speaking the truth in love. The very famous verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, Wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. If you want to be stupid and go your own way and ignore me, well, I'll let you." See, that's what that says. We come back now to the woman that's going to lead you astray, the foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knows nothing. Clamorous, but she causes trouble by her very presence. She's simple. She's not well taught in the Bible. She's not answering to her husband. She doesn't have any accountability. There's nobody over her. See, that's advice to the woman. "She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places in the city to call to those who pass by, why, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell." There are quite a few cults in the world, like Jehovah's Witnesses, LDS, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science, Science of Mind, and most of these cults were started by women. And this is the danger of putting a woman in a place of authority without male headship. Because Eve was deceived and Adam was not deceived. So there are teachers, there are women in Congress and women in business who are not godly women, and they may be very attractive, they may be very interesting, well-informed, well-educated, but if you go in their circle and get in their league, you're going to get destroyed just as if you get into go sleep with a prostitute. That's the picture that's here. So there's a big change in the next chapter for next week when we get to chapter 10. So is this okay so far?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Went through this real quick, but we'll get on with some discussion here. If Dave's happy.